This is episode number 68 with Joe DeSena. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Up greats, and thanks so much for hanging out with me today on this special episode of the School of Greatness podcast. And I'm about a month away from the Pan American Championships with my brothers on the USA national team for team handball. And this was a great episode for me to really dive in and connect with Joe DeSena because of what he represents in his mindset, in his philosophy on life and sports. And what he's created with the Spartan Race is incredible. If you guys haven't heard about these kind of obstacle races that have been going around, there's Tough Mudder, there's Spartan Race, there's a lot of other copycats, as Joe said. People have created other events after seeing his success and what he's really done for individuals to get off the couch and live a better, healthier lifestyle. And his philosophy is simple. It's to work hard, put one step in front of the other, and get the results until you finish. And for me, training constantly with all that I've got going on in my business and life and travel, you know, I've got to continue to stay focused and train and put in the grit, as we talk about in this interview. And he's going to dive more into grit and the hard work it takes to achieve the results that we want in our lives throughout this entire interview. So I was so excited to connect with Joe. It took us about a month to connect because we had so much going on, but we finally did. And I think you're going to really enjoy this episode and all that he has to share. He's got some great stories as well. And without further ado, let's dive into this episode with the man behind the Spartan Race, Joe DeSena.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12 pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. I am excited about this episode today and this interview because I've got A guy that I've been trying to get on probably about 20 times, and we've never been able to connect. His name is Joe DeSena. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Doing well. I'm excited about this because we've been, you know, we've been introduced by mutual friends a few times trying to get on this interview. And I really love the message of your book, which is called Spartan Up, A Take No Prisoners Guide to Overcoming Obstacles and Achieving Peak Performance in Life. So I'm excited to just dive in and kind of learn about your story, about you're the creator of the Spartan Race. I'm excited to learn more about that. I've never actually done an extreme endurance obstacle course challenge. Just because I'm more of a sprinter. So I've always wanted to learn more about it. My friends talk about it constantly. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I couldn't even get people to talk to me for most of my life. Now I'm doing podcasts.
Yeah, I see you everywhere now. So it's awesome. You're doing something right. So tell me, let's start off with why Spartan? What's your definition of Spartan?
Spartan has so many meanings. It's so succinct with those meanings, right? It's like living that lifestyle that's not in abundance, being, I don't know how aggressive I can be in terms here, but being badass.
Yeah.
Just getting the job done, gritty. And so when we were coming up with a name, it just, a light bulb went off and it just made perfect sense. I don't think there's been a group throughout history that purposely put themselves through such rugged training. I mean, leaders, kings and queens would say back then, Spartans actually get a reprieve during battle. When they go to war, it's like relaxation. Wow. Their training was so difficult. So I don't know. Those are the kind of people I want to be around.
Right. Interesting. So why do you want to start this in the first place?
I think with every generation, I mean, you've heard it over and over. I'm sure back in the 20s, moms and dads were saying, oh, the kids today, and in the 40s and in the 60s and in the 80s. And in reality, every generation gets softer as we get more developed and we get more stuff. We protect our children more and more. And I think that's a mistake. I have children myself, and it's hard not to do it because you want to protect them and you want them to have all the things that maybe you didn't have. Information flows a lot more easily these days. So we're a lot more fearful of the environment. We're less active outdoors and all these things have a negative effect on people. At the end of the day, we're animals. Somehow we forgot. We think we're not animals, that we're supposed to be wearing bow ties and sipping cocktails and sitting in front of the TV, but our bodies and minds actually perform best in the environment they were designed for, which is outside.
I like that. And I love your philosophy. It's so simple. I think it's pretty much the same philosophy that I have. And I wonder if it's because I'm too dumb to think of a better philosophy or if it just makes sense. And yours is, to commit to a goal, put in the work, and get it done. And it kind of sounds like that's what the Spartan Race is all about. It's, you know, the goal to finish. You got to put in a lot of hard work and do whatever it takes to get it done, is what it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, we'd sell a lot more books. I mean, the book is going to launch here any day, May 13th. And you go back and forth. I've been writing this book for 30 years, by the way. But you say to yourself, boy, you'd sell if it was just about selling books. Well, then having some tagline on it or a pill or a quick fix would be the way to do it because that's really what people want.
Right.
We always want it easier, faster, cheaper. But at the end of the day, it's exactly what you just said, which is it's hard work. If you want to be successful, it's hard work. If you want opportunities, it's hard work. If you want to look good and feel good, it's hard work. And so really, the book is just confirming that. Look at any of the great people we point out in the book. Throughout history, they work hard. That's why they're great. Mm. And there's a lot of benefits that come from it. And here are a few things you can do to hopefully motivate yourself to work hard.
Right. And I read on your website that you're on a mission to rip 1 million people off the couch and into a healthy lifestyle. And where are you?
It's bigger than that. We hit our million.
Wow.
Now I want to go to 100 million.
Wow. And where is Spartan Race heading? I mean, it started in the U.S., correct?
Yeah, so it started in the U.S. We're in 17 countries this year. We'll be in over 40 countries next year.
Wow!
And it's growing like wildfire. It's not easy because there's a lot of these little companies that are trying to copycat and basically ride a wave and take advantage maybe of some of the hard work we put in. And so that's a battle every day, but it's a battle we don't shy away from. I love competition. Mm-hmm. So that's good. But our goal, unlike a lot of these little guys, is to get it in the Olympics. We think it's the people sport. And what I mean by that is it'd be really hard for you and I don't know how good of a basketball player you are, but I'm terrible. And it'd be hard for you and I to just jump in and play at a high level. It'd be hard to do that in baseball. It'd be hard to do that in any of the traditional sports. And so what we do is we sit on the couch and we watch those sports and we drink beer and eat popcorn. Mm. This is a sport, whether you're a 4-year-old child or a 74-year-old grandmother, you can jump in and actually play at a high level. The body's designed to climb, crawl, swim, do all these things that, it's hard. You want to go do an Ironman? Yeah, that's good. You're not going to compete at a high level in an Ironman unless you're cycling, whatever, 10 hours a week. It's not realistic for most people. This sport, you can actually jump off the couch and compete in.
Mm. And how many people do, what's the average attendance on each event?
Average would be about 8,000 to 10,000.
Wow.
Now, our most interesting market is some of the markets overseas. We'll get 20,000, 25,000 spectators in an event.
No way.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Just like towards the end or at each obstacle, or how's it work?
Or just throughout the entire course.
They'll just kind of walk around and just, go from place to place. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
And how does someone train for this?
So if you, obviously you should do a traditional exercise we've all heard of, running, get into the gym, do some minimal weightlifting, do some body weight exercises. But if you put a gun to my head and you said, Joe, I can only do 3 exercises, what would they be? They'd be pull-ups, no matter how terrible you are at pull-ups, jump up if you have to. They'd be burpees, no matter how awful burpees are, you do them.
So bad, I hate those.
And it would be walking, running. So those three exercises could get you through a Spartan race. And as brutal as the Spartan race looks and feels and sounds, even if you found out there was a race tomorrow, you could get off the couch and you'd push through mentally and get it done. But if you want to do well, you do that. And then we put out a daily workout of the day and a daily food tip of the day. And we got 600,000 to 700,000 people now subscribing to those. And they're free. Those will give you great tips.
Amazing. Amazing. And why is there so much mud in the Spartan races? I know you talk about this in your book, but why so much?
We are, first of all, we don't define ourselves with mud. So there is mud. There are some races where we have no mud. But we define ourselves with obstacles. But mud is interesting to me because we have shied away from it, right? Mm. Even my own children, my 5-year-old and 3-year-old, who are a little older now, I had them in their first race, I remember, 2-3 years ago. And they were running full speed off the starting line. And when they got to the mud, they stopped. And I was confused, and I thought, wow, maybe these aren't my kids. And and the reason they stopped when I studied it was because, well, we've been saying for their whole life at that point, 5 and 3 years, don't get dirty. Don't get in the mud. And we, all of us, you, myself included, we want to keep our houses clean, keep our shoes clean, keep our clothes clean. Like, that's not natural, but yet it's very natural for the species to go out and get dirty and so it feels really good when you touch the environment that way.
Yeah, when you walk around barefoot too, I always feel more grounded and more in my natural state when I take my shoes and socks off.
No doubt about it.
Just feel the grass or the dirt, whatever,
Yeah.
So from my understanding, the Spartan race was conceived from the death race. Is that right?
Well, kind of. I mean, the idea was born out of this death race, but it was really how do we create a military style obstacle challenge, something that's going to get people natural, help them build obstacle immunity to the masses, and Spartan race was really born in my kitchen. But the idea was we want to reach the masses. Death race is an intense event that occurs once a year up in Vermont, and as for really, it's more like an exorcism. I would say Spartan race is more like a baptism.
So what is the death race then?
Death race is for those people that already maybe achieved a lot in life, whether it was had a bunch of children and survived that, or built a business, or whatever. They're at the top of their career. Or they just got, God forbid, divorced or had some trouble and they need to clean themselves up, and they're going to enter hell for 2, 3, 4 days. And
wow.
And no one's going to pat them on the back. They're going to purposely be broken. And the remaining few will finish it. But even the people that don't finish it are going to learn a lot about themselves.
Wow. And you've done this?
I did it, yeah.
Did you complete it?
I did.
So you're one of the few.
I'd be in trouble if I didn't.
And what did you learn about yourself?
Well, at that point, this is going to sound terrible, but at that point, I had already done a lot of very long distance races, stuff longer than the death race. And so coming back and doing the death race was tough, but it wasn't. So some of the races I talk about in the book that we did were 8 or 10 day events, and you know, 30 below temperatures.
Wow.
The Iditarod by foot, for example, in Alaska. So in those races, I learned a lot about myself, which was the human body will go much further than you think it can, and really the only thing that's going to stop you is your mind. And so if you could figure out, which again we touch a lot on the book, if you could figure out how to get your mind motivated and clear and not inhibited with negative thoughts, you win. You win in relationships, you win in business, you just win.
So how does someone get a clear mind when there's so much junk in it?
You got to have the proper frame of reference. So what do I mean by that? So like, let's say you were from Bosnia and I was from New York City. And for you to heat your home, the only wood you could find was your roof. And so you literally dismantled your roof to put it in your fireplace and heat your home. I, on the other hand, had a thermostat, set my temperature, everything was great. When you and I are facing obstacles in our lives, you're going to approach them a lot differently than I will. Your mind's going to be very clear, like, I just want food, right, water, and shelter.
Right.
And that's really the problem. Like there are very few psychologists in third world countries. They don't need them. People just want to, they just want to eat.
Right.
They just want a bed, a place to sleep, and some water.
And they want to feel love. They want to have family, right?
Yeah. And we get screwed up because we have such an abundance. You know, we studied Shackleton, and amazing story, right? The Endurance was the name of that expedition, the famous expedition he went on. And I think they were stranded for over a year, stuck in the ice. And at some point, he and one of his men had to leave and do whatever it was, a two-week trek or maybe 2-month trek to go get safety for all his men who were stuck on the ship. They tried to recreate that trek, and with $10 million worth of gear, they all quit. They had to be rescued. Shackleton didn't have to, and that's because he had no choice. He didn't have any gear. It was either live or die.
Mm.
And that's the difference between you and my example, living in Bosnia, and me in New York. Like you're fighting for milk.
Right.
And so that, you know, if you can get yourself in that mindset, and I try to do it on a daily basis, and really Spartan Race is designed to do that for people. Get myself in this place. Bernard Hopkins, the fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He says he fights like he's got no food in the refrigerator.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? That's where you got to get your head. Like, there's no option here. This has to get done.
Yeah, there's someone else. I forget the guy. This famous, like, YouTube speaker guy. He says if you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.
Oh, the rap preacher.
Yeah. Isn't that a great quote?
That's my favorite quote.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's the same thing you're talking about. If you want as bad, you know, if there's no other option, if you're about to die, then you'll do what it takes.
That's right.
And you get very clear. Your intentions are
That's
very
right.
clear.
That's right. There's no confusion.
But does that, you know, some people may think that's kind of extreme. Do I want to live every day in this like stress? Like if I'm going to die, if I don't do this, do you think that's too much for some people? Or do you think that's the mentality we should take?
A large part of the world lives that way. And in reality, they're not making it up. Mm. I've been to some of those places and those people are very, very happy people. They really appreciate the little bit they get. I think we in first world countries that have all this abundance, I think we do ourselves a lot of good if we could change our frame of reference, as I mentioned in the book, which I do by doing like some terrible exercise in the morning, take a cold shower. Now, again, some people would say, Joe, you're sadistic. Really? Am I? I don't know. It helps me get through the rest of my day. When I'll tell you what's crazy. What's crazy is the person that's upset over silly things, whether it's traffic, whether it's coffee being too cold, whether it's the airline charges $20 for a ticket and you see this guy or girl flip out in the airport online over it. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
That's not normal.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because whenever I go through some of my biggest challenges where I'm struggling in my life, in my past, I feel like that's when I'm the most motivated. When my back's up against the wall, or when I don't have, you know, there was a moment in my life when I was completely broke, living on my sister's couch for about a year and a half in debt. That's when I was like so driven and focused and clear because there was no other way.
And no, I think that's why athletes, like when the athlete gets hurt in the Olympics, right? And then they come back stronger. That's why.
Yeah. It's sometimes when I get comfortable and, don't get my hands, dirty. That's when I start to relax and, kind of take a day off mentally or whatever it may be. And that's sometimes when it holds me back from achieving my goals. So it's interesting your thoughts on that.
Stay hungry.
Yeah, stay hungry.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And what's the biggest mistake you see people make when trying to achieve a goal? I know you talk about this in the book as well.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest mistake is I think they give up too soon. I mean, no, people don't realize how close they are to a finish line. when they give up. If you look at most failure stories, they were so close. Look at Thomas Edison with the light bulbs, right? I don't know how many light bulbs he messed with, 1,000 before he could have given up at 100, 200, 300. This guy just keeps going until he succeeds. So I would say that, that is a sign of instant gratification, right? When you quit something, you're looking for gratification at that moment in time, and instant gratification kills you. If you look back, if any of us look back and see what mistakes we made in our life, it's always tied to just wanting something now and not being able to put in that extra time, pain, suffering to get twice as much later. Mm. I've hired people. I've been building businesses 30 plus years. And everybody always said I was crazy the way I hired. People are on audition with me before we hire them. My resume doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Interview doesn't mean anything. Get out and let me see you work. We're in the rain here in Montana. It's cold right now. And the strong will survive. And you know, we started with 20 guys, and maybe we'll leave with 10 when it's over.
Wow.
But those 10, you know, put in the time, and most of the time in life, you'll get twice as many rewards if you can withstand the pain and push through.
Yeah, you know, I always talk about willingness to sacrifice and willingness to feel pain in order to get what you want. And I think not enough people are willing to feel and go through the pain in order to get the pleasure.
I'll give you a great story. My son was 5, and I was have you heard of the cookie test?
Or the
marshmallow test?
I think I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
So back in the 60s, put, you know, hundreds of kids in a room in cubicles, gave each kid a cookie or a marshmallow. The child had a choice. He could eat it then, or he could wait at some point in the future, you know, minutes, a half hour, whatever it was, and they would get 2 cookies or 2 marshmallows.
Nice.
Most kids took it right away.
Mm-hmm.
The kids that waited, they followed for 30 years, the ones that waited and the ones that didn't. They found 100% correlation, not 92, 100% correlation between the kids that waited and better SAT scores, better life, better marriage, better house, better job. Everything in their life was better. So I tested my son, got him a scoop of ice cream. It was 10 o'clock at night. I'm scared because you don't know what you're going to get. You might get somebody that, right? And he takes the scoop of ice cream, and I say, hey, do you want one now? Or if you wait, I'll give you 2. And we were about 3.5 minutes in, and he turned to me and he said, Dad, how do I get 15 scoops? How long do I have to wait? And that's exactly what we have to learn in life, is that you can't get it right now. But we're so used to having everything at our fingertips and having access to anything we want on demand that you don't realize that actually if you wait, you get a lot more later in most cases.
That's amazing. I mean, and this is kind of like the concept of delayed gratification, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. In the Spartan world, what is the key to success?
And actually doing the race?
Yeah, just in the Spartan world, what is the key to success?
In my opinion, just put one foot in front of the other. Mm. You know, somebody said to me once, what do you do if you bite off more than you can chew? My answer is you just keep chewing. So, you know, you'd be surprised if you've got to go somewhere figuratively or actually. The only way to get there is just put one foot in front of the other.
Right.
My son, the one with the ice cream I just told you about, he saw the we went to one of these events the weekend before the Boston Marathon, and they were raising money. They had a treadmill set up. And so he got on the treadmill, and if he could make it a mile, the store we were in would donate $100. So he made it the mile, and then we met some of the victims from last year's bombing at the Boston Marathon. He's a young boy. He's 8 now, and he was moved by it. And he said, "Oh, are they going to have another bomb this year at the marathon?" And he said to me, "Dad, can I run it?" Now, 8-year-olds can't run the marathon. So I said, "Listen." I said, I have a number, but if you want, I'll walk and run with you and we'll stay off to the side by the spectators. Well, the kid went 24 miles and we were like 17 or 18 miles in, and he turned to me and he said, "I don't know." And I said, "Just keep putting one foot in front of the other."
Wow.
He went 24 miles. So you'd be amazed at what you can do. The only thing that stops you is your mind.
Yeah. It's interesting. Angela Lee Duckworth talks about...
I know her very well.
Talks about grit and the key to success. And I'm doing some research for a book that I'm writing right now as well. And in your book, on page 76, you talk about grit as well. And how does someone develop grit? And what is grit to you?
I think that's the big question. When I talk to Angela, it's can it be developed or is it instinctual? And I believe it can be developed. And the reason I know it can be developed, I don't think, I know it can be developed, is because I was not gritty. I grew up, you know, the first 10 years of my life, my dad gave us everything, maybe 11 years. And when he lost everything, I went from being a spoiled kid to quickly having to recalibrate, change my frame of reference, and figure out how to get ahead on my own. How to, you know, my mother couldn't pay the mortgage. We were going to lose the house. We had no heat. Again, no big deal relative to third world countries, but it was a big change from where we came from. And I got gritty, and I got more and more gritty as I put myself in positions to win or lose, which, you know, I got into the construction business at a young age, swimming pools and construction. And
yeah, that's not easy.
Well, I keep thinking about, we have four children now, and I keep thinking, what's going to get these kids gritty? And as I'm sitting here,
manual labor.
yeah, I'm sitting on this construction site right now in Montana thinking, there's no better, when you got a gun against your head to get the job done, because you're going to either make money or lose money. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Machines run out of fuel, machines break, you go to buy a part for the machine, that you come back to the site, you've got the wrong part they gave you, while four guys stand around that you're paying. It starts to rain, it snows. I mean, it's the perfect grit building environment. So I'm a big believer that grit can be built. Now, if you don't have the opportunity to be doing construction work, every morning when you wake up, jump in a cold shower, do 300 burpees. That'll get you gritty pretty quick.
It will, yeah. my building is under construction right now, and some of the days the water is turned off while they're redoing the pipes. So it takes like an hour and a half or 2 hours for the water to like heat back up for whatever reason, because I'm on a top floor and it takes a while. And so I've taken a number of cold showers lately, and that's definitely a way to get a little gritty. I think I read in your book that you did, was it 10,000 burpees? Is that right?
Yeah, these the kids that work for me, it's funny, something happened to me last night like that, but these kids that work for me came up with this idea that if we hit, I think it was 3 million likes on Facebook, that I would do one burpee for every like or share that day, and it came out to 10,247. It was a terrible idea.
Oh my gosh. So you did 10,000 burpees. How long did it take you to do?
So I had no plan. This was like on a Wednesday. I happened to be at Reebok for a meeting, and they're big CrossFitters.
Sure.
And I tell them about this situation, because I'm thinking, well, I could get people to do them for me. It could be like a community thing. and the Reebok guys turned to me and said, you know, if you could do 10,000, it would be like, people would fly you around the world. It would be so incredible. You'd be so motivational. So I said, all right, well, it's Wednesday. I guess I'll go for it Friday. I figured I'd do it at night. Around midnight, I would start, because then when I was getting really tired, the sun would be coming up and I'd get a newfound energy.
Oh my gosh.
So at midnight I start, and I tell them, the guys that are filming me and watching me, do not tell me what number I'm up to, because I don't want to know. If it'll just screw up my whole head.
Yeah.
So I'm doing them. And it's about 8 a.m. now. I'm about 8 hours in. And I say to him, man, I haven't been able to eat because I keep going up and down, and it just screws up your stomach. And I don't know what I'm up to, but I got to know. And I pressured them, and they said, you're just about over 4,000 now. Like,
oh, 30, my gosh.
4,050. And literally, I was broken. I was at a point where I had to go down and then like kneel, like
crawl an older, up. Yeah.
Yeah, and crawl up. And I thought, if I keep doing them, it's going to take me another 20 hours to do them at that pace.
Wow.
And no one's going to consider them real burpees. So so I convinced myself it was okay to do the remaining 6,247 over the next 6 days, and I did them. And so it took me longer than I planned, but I got them done.
Wow. So it took you about a week or something?
Took me 4,000 and a little over 8 hours, and then 6,200 in the next 6 days.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like hell.
Yeah.
Were you like exhausted? I mean, what was your body like? Did you have blisters all over your hands and knees, or what was it like?
No. That wasn't bad. I couldn't see straight, and I was nauseous.
Oh my gosh. Well, you must have lost a lot of weight that week too.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So tell me more about your vision with Spartan Race. And I know, you know, your goal is now 100 million people to get off the couch and into a healthy lifestyle, but where do you see Spartan Race going? And, you know, what's your vision for this at the end of the day?
We want to be in the Olympics. We want it to be an Olympic sport.
By
at
when?
At the end of the day. I mean, sooner the better, but we might have to bump ping pong out of the Olympics to get in there.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But it's going to take some time.
What's the steps to making that happen? Like, how does one even submit for an Olympic sport?
So we've got to get the governing body, which we're working on. And then we've got to get all these countries lined up with little governing bodies around the world. And all at the same time and talking to the IOC, which we've been doing. And hopefully we get it done and they accept us.
Wow. And then when they accept you, is it like for the next one or would it be eight?
I've never built a sport in the Olympics before. Wow. Yeah. So I don't know how it's going to go.
This is fascinating. I mean, there were a bunch of new sports in the last Olympics, weren't there? In the summer Olympics and the winter Olympics, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it's possible. Interesting.
Oh, it's definitely possible. I mean, look, we didn't have snowboarding not too long ago, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, you talked about CrossFit, and I've been doing CrossFit for probably about 3.5 years. A good friend of mine won it back in 2010, the games, and got me into it.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, they've built an incredible brand, an incredible business, and have, you know, I don't even know how many million people are doing it around the world now, but it seems like it's everywhere. Reebok's obviously a big sponsor. Has their business model inspired you in any way, or are you taking on your own business model with taking over the world?
No, I didn't know a lot about CrossFit until I had gotten involved with the Reebok relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would say that's not really been an inspiration. I think it's helped a lot because there's a lot of people doing CrossFit that like to come do Spartan Race. I think we are the place to show how they're living that lifestyle, to test their training.
Mm.
Very few people are going to get into the CrossFit games, so they need another outlet.
Right.
And Spartan Race is one of those outlets. If you come and look at the bodies, male and female bodies at our starting lines, you're blown away. I mean, they much different than a runner or even a triathlete. These people look like Spartans in the day.
Really?
Yeah. And it's because the training that it gets pretty intense. Full body training.
Mm. Will you just explain? I know we briefly talked about the Spartan Race. You said some have mud, some don't have mud. Can you talk about kind of like a general what it is, how long it is, the obstacles that people face in a
race? So this race right now we're setting up in Montana. There's about 17 obstacles. The first one we're calling Everest. So they're literally climbing straight up a mountain, a mile and a half. And then there's going to be low crawls under barbed wire. There's going to be some walls to climb over, giant cargo nets on top of the mountain. There's actually going to be a mental test at one location. Your podcast here will probably air after this race so I could tell you what it is. And I'm going to want them to recite some presidents in order, not 1 through 10, because we've done that before the death race, but probably 11 through 20, which would be impossible. But there's such a beautiful view from that location that when they fail that obstacle, they could sit and just reflect for a minute.
Wow.
Which people have a hard time doing, just sitting still. So that's an obstacle in and of itself. And then they've got rope climbs, all kinds. It's going to be an amazing course.
Wow. And is each course designed by you, and are they always different?
No, we have an amazing Spartan team that designs all the courses. This particular course, I do one a year, is me out here in Montana.
Wow. Awesome. On page 142, you talk about the two most important factors that you've determined to personal success. Can you explain what those are?
For me, it would be the ability to delay gratification and this ability to just continue to push forward under, you know, put one step in front of the other. Again, I've built a lot of businesses, and building a business is like raising a child. It's just, you got to be relentless. You've got to have perseverance. Like I would say, if you had your choice, many people ask me, "Hey Joe, should I go for my MBA?" And, you know, education is important. Obviously I'm not taking anything away from education, but if the goal is to get ahead or build your own business or make some money, education is closer to the bottom of the list. It's really this ability to persevere and just suck it up and be very detail oriented, make quick decisions. Indecision is worse than not making a decision.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people just don't have or haven't developed those traits. That the biggest one, again, if we're only talking about top two, the biggest one is this ability to just persevere and just be relentless.
No, going back,
they started calling me Fidel all around here, because it's not often that I'm running the operation from the field, and because I sound like a dictator. Now, I sent a few guys home today that weren't feeling great, and so I'm not like a terrible dictator. But the reason they're not used to it, we put on these races all over the world, and I'm not the guy typically driving that ship at these races. But what they're experiencing with me is that. What we're talking about, that I just, hey guys, you know what? If we stay out an extra 2 hours, I know it's dark and it's raining, but we're going to get this done.
Right.
And now 3.5 days into it, they're saying, oh my God, we normally take 7 days to do. I can't believe we've done it in 3.5 days. Well, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
Right. It would have been nice to go home early, but we have a job to do.
Right. Right. Now, talking about decision makings, you say I'm assuming you're great at making quick decisions. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do as well as you've been able to do. So how do you analyze situations then? And I know,
upside, downside. Yeah, I talk about it in the book, upside, downside decision making. So like, what's the upside to this and what's the downside? And you can quickly figure out if it's worth doing this, whatever this is. Like, all right, what's the upside to staying an extra hour and getting this obstacle built versus the downside? The downside is guys will be a little more tired. The upside is, well, we could finish early. If we finish early, I could let all these guys sleep for a day completely and then be fresh when we put on the race next week. Easy decision. We're staying out an extra hour. and there's lots of opportunities during everybody's busy life to make those decisions. And what I see, and again, we're talking to a million plus people, but what I see is people have indecision. I don't know. I'm not sure. That's the killer. Indecision is the killer.
Why do you think so many people are paralyzed by making decisions?
I think they're afraid of the results, right? I think when you make a decision, you've got to commit. And the outcome may not always be perfect. And, you know, I was recently with the very elite force of our military, without giving the unit's name, and the commander of that unit, I mean, this is a pretty serious operation I'm talking about. And the commander said to me, when they're out at, let's say, 40 years old, many of them don't go on to start businesses. And the reason is, and they should, because they have all the qualities and traits, but the reason they don't is because they've been winners their whole life. Everything has worked for them. They don't want to step out of their comfort zone and take that chance. And I think that's why people have indecision. It's hard to live and die by that decision.
Right. Can you share a few of your, I guess, mental tricks, strategies, or techniques that keep you going in those, I guess, dark times during a race or during any Spartan race in life, let's say, that people are going through?
Yeah, for me or for anybody else, when you're at that dark moment, here's what's going to happen. Here's the life cycle. It starts out with commitment. You click on the button and you step out of your comfort zone, whether it's a Spartan race or a marathon or whatever it is. Now you're committed. That's the highest level of excitement you're going to see and feel until you come out the other side.
Right.
Whether it's starting a business, whether it's getting married, whatever. So you do that, you're feeling great, and then it's all downhill from there. And once it starts heading downhill, you have to delay gratification. You've got to give up the glass of wine on Saturday night. You got to go to bed a little early. You got to find some better friends that have healthy habits. You've got to wake up early. So you're delaying gratification. Then the next thing that happens is it starts to get ugly. It's not exactly what you thought. You can't go any further. You're exhausted. Then people pile on and they start saying, "What? I told you that was stupid, or you shouldn't have done that." And then you get to this point where it's decision time. You're at that dark, dark moment. And when we looked at people that quit versus people that don't quit, it really depends on their frame of reference at that moment. Are they fighting for milk, like we spoke about earlier? Are they happy just with water, food, and shelter? Or have they been used their whole life to having everything, and everything comes easy? And why would they possibly push through and deal with that pain? But when you do push through, and you somehow find that grit and finish, that's where you learn a lot about yourself. And at that moment, you've just got to be able to tell yourself that it's just one step in front of the other, right? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've been at mile 24 in a marathon or mile 90 in a 100 miler, and you don't want to take another step. You question why you even did it. This is stupid, right? This is stupid that I signed up for it. But we can't stop time. Time is going to keep ticking away, and it's going to tick away whether we stop and quit or we take the extra few steps to get the extra 2 miles. And I'll tell you why, because I've been on both sides of that coin. Quitting lasts forever. You can't change the result. It just eats away at your brain. And the euphoria of coming out the other side and finishing is well worth it. And so I think some people just don't know. They've never experienced it, right? And it's hard. It's just hard for them to take those extra steps. So they hopefully listen to people who have and get it done. Mm. Because it's addictive. Once you've finished and pushed through, you start to feel invincible.
Mm-hmm. You want more, right?
You want more.
You want more pain.
Yeah.
I like it. Now, you've talked about your kids throughout this podcast, and also in your book, you talk about your children. I believe you have 4 children, right?
4 children, yeah.
And how has parenting changed you? And is there a Spartan parenting style as well?
Parenting changed me because I used to go out and train 4, 5, 6 hours a day. And when those little crickets enter your brain, when you're in pain, like you and I were just talking about, how you get through those dark sides, I would push through. I'd fight those negative thoughts, and I'd continue and finish my workouts or my training or races. When you have children, you lose the argument. What I mean by that is you're out there, let's say, training for 4 or 5 hours, or even right now I'm in Montana, and you're feeling some pain, and what enters your brain is, well, shouldn't you be home with the kids? Mm. Like, and you lose that argument every time, because you should be home with the kids, right? You got one family, you right. owe it to them. And so I can't train because of that. I can't train and do the races I love to do, because I don't want to miss this part of them growing up. And then on the other side, I want to make them, I want to give them all the things I wish I would have had, but not monetary, not thing, you know, not stuff, but skills.
Mm.
And so they and grit, and they train 2 hours a day. We have we're lucky enough to have found a kung fu teacher from China who lives with us and trains wow. these kids.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 2 hours every day. and then on the farm down the street, there's a wrestling coach that comes in. He does some wrestling with them, so they learn how to do American wrestling, which is great. And we've got them eating healthy. And my 8-year-old, pretty soon, he's got to start working. So
oh my gosh,
we're going to get him doing dishes at the local general store.
That's great. Now, in a sense, I don't know if I heard this in your conversation just now, but in a sense, has parenting made you a little softer?
Probably yes.
Okay.
Probably yes, I would say. Now, people that watch me parent, I think would say, boy, he's a hard ass.
Mm.
But yes, I think it made me a little softer.
Gotcha. We got a few questions left, and I know you got to get back to building your course. Yeah. But how important is team aspect of Spartan Racing and also having the right team in your life, whether it be your business, your
family? I'm lucky. I mean, my team, my wife is awesome, right? I mean, I'm out here in Montana. I'm going to be gone for a while. And even the guys are asking me, how do you do it? And I'm just lucky. Like, going off on a tangent here, how many people are in the world? 8 billion? Let's just call it 8 billion, right? So let's just say, hypothetically, there's 4 billion men, 4 billion women. You're going to hopefully find a mate and spend the rest of your life with them. Think about how ridiculous that process is, that we meet people in a bar. It's so random. And you're going to spend the rest of your life with that person. So, and that person is also a key to your success or failure.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I got really, really lucky. We randomly met at a race. So I think, again, going off on a tangent, I think it's important you look for a mate doing things you like to do, because there will be people of the opposite sex at that doing things they like to do, and they'll coincide with what you like to do.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, unless you like drinking in a bar, if that's what you want to do with your life, then you probably should look in a bar. But the reason I said that is the success in your life depends on the people you have around you. And so to have an awesome wife, which I do, and then the kids, that's your job. It's my job, my wife's job, to make sure they're awesome. The Spartan team we have in this business is second to none. And it's along the same lines as what I just said about a mate. The people that can be out here in, you know, 35 degrees and raining in the mountains of Montana, freezing, are the kind of people we want to be around. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that kick butt and help us pull off this mission.
Right. Yeah, I'm a big believer in finding the right team. And it's hard to let go of people on your team too, right? Who maybe aren't working out.
Sure.
That's, sure. For me, that's the hardest thing.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard.
I'm a big believer in gratitude, and I practice it daily. I think it's one of the keys to my, I guess, the success that I've had and my constant growth and humility. Do you and I know you talk about it in the book, but I just want to hear your answer to this. Do you practice gratitude daily, and what are you most grateful for?
Well, I do, and I'm most grateful for having a healthy body and mind and having a family that has the same. So, super happy for that. You know, people say, Joe, you can't sleep in that room because there's two people in there. You gotta, you know, we'll give you your own bed. Give me my own bed. I'm just happy that it's not raining on me while I'm sleeping. So I'm grateful for all the things we have. I'm super grateful regarding being a part of this business. Could you imagine? A lot of people don't get the benefit of doing something they love in their job. To be able to help other people really love this life, this Spartan life, and have a business that has that all wrapped up into one. I mean, every day I'm grateful. Mm. I'm grateful to be alive. There's another little thing I do with myself is could be worse, right?
Right. So I want to make sure everyone checks this book out. Before I actually ask you the final question, I've been training, and I used to be a former professional football player. I've played three sports in college, two sport All-American, decathlon, and football.
Wow.
And I'm currently on the USA men's national team for a sport called team handball, which is big in Europe, but pretty much unknown in the US. And I train pretty intensely every single day right now for that sport and put myself through hell a lot of the times. And for someone like me, who's got a, you know, a business, who's got a passion, who plays a sport at a high level, is it valuable for me to do an endurance obstacle course as well? And I mean, I don't want to put you in that category, but is it valuable for me to try the Spartan race?
Yeah, I think it is. In the same sense, I think it would be valuable for me to go learn handball.
Right.
Like okay. I say that because it's the same thing we talked about with that elite military unit. We have to all step out of our comfort zone whenever those opportunities exist, because one, it changes you physically. It changes your brain. When you're uncomfortable and you have to deal with an obstacle, the obstacle for you would be doing a sport you're not used to and you're not the best at, like it would be for me doing handball. That physically changes and it puts an imprint in your brain. Mm. And we talk about Angela Duckworth and grit. That's how that happens. So yes, I think it would be extremely valuable to step out of your comfort zone and try a new sport. And I can't think of a better one than Spartan Race, not just because I'm attached to it, but because it happens to be loaded with obstacles too.
Right.
Not just the obstacle of it being a new sport.
Right.
And yes.
So when's the next one in Southern California?
I don't have dates in front of me, but
you're gonna have some this year, you think?
I have a bunch. I have in the late fall, I have one in near San Diego.
Perfect.
And I think in late summer, I've got San Francisco coming. So nice. That's not too far. But yeah, you should definitely do one.
Awesome. And then you have a whole schedule of all the events at SpartanRace.com, correct?
We do, yeah. And the book is SpartanUpTheBook.com.
SpartanUpTheBook.com. And make sure to check this out. I mean, I went through the whole thing. For me, I'm really inspired by what you've created. I'm inspired by what you write because I think you're keeping it very basic and it's what people need to hear. And it's the simple basic things of working hard, having a goal and getting it done, what it's all about. It's not about these, you know, these tricks or these get better fast, you know, instant gratification.
Get rich quick.
Yeah,
no get rich quick here.
Yeah, this is like get down.
Get rich slow. This is get rich slow. We should make a new tagline.
I like it. But make sure to check out the book. Again, you can go to SpartanRace.com or SpartanUpTheBook. And it's called Spartan Up, A Take No Prisoners Guide to Overcoming Obstacles and Achieving Peak Performance in Life by Joe DeSena. And the final question, which I ask all of my guests, is what is your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness is, it's going to sound no different than everything we just talked about, but is doing stuff I don't want to do, right? Like, I can't think of the author's name, but he just came up with like Leaders Eat Last.
Yeah, Simon Sinek. I had him on the show.
Yeah, he's awesome, right? And so it's a leader doesn't want to eat last. He's got to eat last. He's got to put his men first. I don't want to go out in the cold water, but if we've got something to do, I got to get in the. So I've always lived my life just stepping out. I actually met my wife and have four children because I live life that way. I wasn't supposed to swim across a bay. My part of the job was done. And I looked out there and I said, I really don't want to do this, so I'm going to do it. And when I swam to the other side, I met my wife, boom, married, four children. So you'd be amazed at what happens when you live that way. And that's greatness.
I love it. Thank you so much for all of the work that you do in the world, for your vision to inspire now 100 million people to get off the couch, for making the world a better place through your passion. I'm truly grateful for you in this world and the mark you're making. So thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
See ya.
And there you guys have it. Thanks so much for tuning in today on the School of Greatness podcast with Joe DeSena. Make sure to check out this book. It's a pretty interesting read. And again, he doesn't have any get healthy or get rich quick type of strategies for you. What he's got is some great lessons and principles that are time tested and proven. And I think you're going to really enjoy this book. It's really worth the read. It's worth checking out, and it's worth giving to a friend as well, if you think that someone needs to step it up in their business, sport, or life. So check it out. And you can go to all the show notes over at lewishouse.com. And I'm excited about what's to come. We've got a lot of great episodes coming up. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast over on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on SoundCloud. And check out the previous episodes. There's been well over 60, I guess 67 episodes now. And there's some amazing guests we've had on here. And there's going to be some amazing guests to come. So make sure to check it out. Subscribe. I would love it if you left a review over on iTunes. That really helps increase the rankings and gets this in front of more people in the world to get the message of greatness. So I appreciate you for all that you do in sharing this episode, for listening, for being a subscriber. And if you want to say hi, go ahead and post a picture on Instagram and tag me at Lewis Howes with where you're listening to this in the world right now. And I'll be sure to comment back. So thanks again for all you guys do, for being great, and make sure to go out there and do something great today.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang and Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.